Om Agnatimananda Sya Jana Salakaya Chaksu Smilatan Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sa Pandantikam Vansa Kalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhaye Bhaja Patitanam Pabinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. The topic of separation is difficult to gain access to on the spiritual level, on the Vrindavan level, because one has to have experienced Krishna to miss Krishna. But the dust of Vrindavan and Giriraj, Govardhan, Yamuna, they are so merciful that it is so easy to perceive that a deeper reality is present. We may be able to perceive it a slight bit or an unlimited amount, because there is an unlimited amount to perceive. But yet, just by sitting in Vrindavan and hearing about Krishna, something, some perception naturally comes to the consciousness. And the perception of this deeper reality, which of course is Krishna's dealing with the beloved residents of Vrindavan, especially Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda, and the Braja Gopikas, and especially Srimati Radharani. It is the sweetness that comes from these dealings is unlimitedly attractive. And if one wants to deepen one's experience or taste in these things, then one has to primarily become what? I heard someone say it already. Become what? You could say pure, you could say this, you could say that. But what? Who's a good mind reader? Yeah? Just one? Eager, yes. But yes, yes, no. Okay, what I was thinking of is one has to primarily, essentially, foundationally become a servant. Because we can't enter Vrindavan. We can't enter Vrindavan with a mood to enjoy, because that will place us in direct competition with Krishna. And if there's competition with Krishna, we all know who's going to win. And we all know who's going to lose. We have heard about Kamsa's loss, and if we have heard about Chanura Mastika and a little bit about the washerman who dared to challenge Krishna's position. Well, we are all in that same category of Bhule Se Jeev, Krishna Bhule Se Jeev. Turning our back on Krishna and placing ourselves somehow or another falsely, or the attempting to conceive of ourselves in a spirit that I can actually take a central position. So we can try that in the material world until we get very, 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 very tired of it all, and then want something more wonderful. But really we have to turn to being, to Anya Bilasita Sunyam Gena Kamara Navrita. We have to turn to Krishna and learn how to perform pure devotional service, unmotivated devotional service, jnana, karma, anavrita, with no desires to gain something on the knowledge platform ending in liberation from miseries, and no desires on the karma platform to elevate our situation that will give us a more facility for enjoyment. Because If we want to be with Krishna, the fire of wanting to be with Krishna must burn very brightly, because then tattalaloyam apimulyam comes in. Then our desire will dictate. That will be the price, our admission price. But it is based on a serving attitude. That means, and being a servant is, one will have to say, is the most difficult thing in the material world. Especially anyabhilasita sunyam, because one will tend, even when one is taking the position of servant, to want some percentage or another for oneself. But nothing for me, everything for Krishna. This is the mood, certainly the mood of Vrindavan, and this is the mood, this is the beginning of spiritual life, when we take ourselves out of the center and place Krishna in the center. And Vrindavan means natural, spontaneous attraction to Krishna. Naturally and spontaneously, the residents of Vrindavan simply and only think of Krishna and what's going to please him. And they all, and this is so wonderful, they all have an individuality, an individual relationship with Krishna, an individual gift that they have to offer Krishna. So there's a place for everyone, but we can't want a top position, sorry. No moving up the corporate ladder. In Vrindavan, it's just the opposite. No trying to get a topmost position and push this one out of the way and move ourselves up, because then we'll be in competition with Srimati Radharani, and then that's just not the mood. So the residents of Vrindavan, we've been hearing about, especially about Nanda Maharaj's reaction when Uddhav came. And in the verse we'll begin with today, the 21st verse, Nanda Maharaj is speaking to Uddhava. And how can we describe, with words coming from a material mouth, and if our heart is, and our ears are material, and our consciousness is material, how can we actually understand this? What he was thinking, what the residents of Vrindavan were experiencing. So he Nanda Maharaj says, and I believe we read this yesterday, Smarantam Krishna Viryani Lila Panga Nariksitam. That remembering Krishna's wonderful deeds, his virya, his wonderful activities. And it is not just the power of Krishna that's attractive. It's his beauty that's attractive. And it's not only his beauty, it's his way of dealing. And this verse, as we mentioned yesterday, speaking about Krishna's wonderful deeds of lifting Giriraj, killing Aristasura, and saving Nanda Maharaj from the serpent demons. But then it was also his sidelong glances, his intimate way of connecting with each and every individual in a very, very personal way, almost like a secret between them and Krishna. Our relationship is very, very private and intimate. His smiles, his words, O Uddhava. And then we forget sarvana sitala kriya. We forget all our activities. We cannot do anything but remember Krishna and think about him and long to be in his association. How can we conceive of that type of love? In the material world, that type of love doesn't exist. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was chanting and crying and crying, he was approached and he said, you have so much love for Krishna. And he said, no, naganda asti. I have no love for Krishna. Well, that's okay, that's very humble. But look at you. You don't eat, you don't sleep, and tears are pouring from your eyes like torrents of rain. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, no, no. I don't have any love for Krishna. This is just a show. And this is actually the mood of a devotee. I don't have love for Krishna. I have no love for Krishna. This is the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then explained what he meant. He said, when there's love, it cannot tolerate separation. When there's true love, when the heart's completely given, actually given, and this is really only on the spiritual level can it be fulfilled fully. But when there is true love, it cannot tolerate separation. And see, I am still alive, maintaining my fly-like existence. I have no love for Krishna. And this is what is going on in Vrindavan after Krishna leaves. The Brijabasis are so absorbed in remembering Krishna and missing him. Their love is so complete. They're just hanging by a very thin thread to their own lives. And that thread isn't composed of any selfishness either. It is their prema that's holding them together. It is their love for Krishna that keeps them alive. It is Krishna's promise that he will return. And if Krishna returns and we are not alive, he will feel so bad. From whatever angle one will look at the love of the resonance in Vrindavan, it is. What can we say about it? It is so powerful that it completely brings Krishna under control. He cannot reciprocate with it. They're missing him. They're wanting to be with him. They're wanting to give everything to him. So thinking about him and his smiles, they forget all their engagements, everything they're doing. They can't do anything. Nanda Maharaj can't take care of the cows. Nanda Maharaj can't greet anyone who comes to his door. Yashoda Maya can't utter one word to speak to Uddhava, not to encourage him, to greet him. She cannot cook for him. She cannot remove the spider webs from the ceiling. Forgetting everything, just stunned in this separation from Krishna. And in this separation, which appears to be the utmost agony, the channel is open due to their love. The channel is directly open to associating with Krishna, to being with Krishna. And they're with Krishna fully in their separation, a fully spiritual experience. So when Nanda Maharaj says this to Uddhava, that we can't do anything just thinking about Krishna, then our Acharya's comment that a reply could be, well, go out of your house, because you know if you go and you keep and you're in a bad mood and you stay in your house and you close the blinds, you're just getting more miserable and more depressed. So go out of your house. Go wander by the Yamuna, on the banks of the Yamuna. The Yamuna gives so much happiness. And then in the 22nd verse, Nanda Maharaj replies, but there's a problem about doing that. When we see the places where Mukunda, and there is an important meaning to the word Mukunda here, the giver of liberation, that Krishna willing we shall speak of soon. When we see the places where Mukunda enjoyed his sporting pastimes, the rivers, the hills, the forests he decorated with his feet, with his footprints, marked with the lotus flower, with the club, with the chakra, with the gold used for controlling the elephant. There are many markings on the footprints of Krishna. And the residents of Vrindavan always respected the footprints of Krishna, and no one would step over them, and they were always preserved. Even the animals wouldn't step over or somehow push aside the footprints of Krishna. So Vrindavan was always marked with the footprints of Krishna. And therefore, when Akura came, when he saw, he came just at twilight. And this is the perfect way. Akura, by his life, he describes the perfect way to come to Vrindavan, because he's always involved in Krishna Smaranam. And Maharaj explained this on the roof when we first came, that when we take our plane here, we arrive in maybe at most 24 hours or something, and then a few days later, our mind arrives. Our body arrives at one time, and our mind arrives a few days later. But if you take the slow method of walking, or in Akura's case, on a chariot, then you have the opportunity to meditate always on where you're going, on Braja, on Krishna and his pastimes, on the temple, on the deities. And then your mind arrives 3 days before your body arrives. And then when you are there, you are there. And in contemporary society, one of the main characteristics is that wherever people are, they are not. You know, they're either walking down the road, talking on their mobile phones, or if you look at the people's faces when you're walking, they're never there. They're somewhere else, just contaminated by the mode of ignorance, by tamagun. They're lamenting the past, or they're planning the future, and I'm going to do this and do that by the mode of rajagun, impelled by rajagun. So the methodology, the good old-fashioned methodology, isn't so practical for us in one sense, but it is perfect in this way, because because your mind is arriving, the consciousness is there. And then you can actually have more of a chance of perceiving what's there. And in this case, it's so important to perceive what's here according to our capacity, to place ourselves in the presence of Giriraj, to place ourselves in the presence of the dust of Vrindavan, in the association of devotees. And knowing how valuable it is, these things, we try to make the most advancement we can, which means increase our taste for being with Krishna. And this is more or less the only answer to the question of how can we experience separation from Krishna when our relationship with Krishna isn't there or isn't experienced. And the answer is we can't. But we want to. And that desire is our wealth. And whatever we have to increase that, the desire to increase that and performing the processes to increase that, that is our wealth. Not everything that will be left behind in time. And therefore we see that getting older is such a, getting old is such a confronting experience, because all the things that we think are us and think are ours, how our face looks, how our hair looked in the past, and the strength that we had, and the no wrinkles over here, and our knees working, they all one by one, our eyes being able to see, our hearing having no buzzing sounds or anything like that. One by one, all these simple things are taken away, and that's why old age is so confronting, is because one can't figure out who one is if one's identified with those things being oneself. One can't one becomes frightened because one loses the sense of who I am. But who am I? We start there. We say, Krishna Nitya Das. How can I serve Krishna? How can I serve Krishna? So, coming on to the Holy Dhamma is such an opportunity to increase our taste. And even though we can't take it all with us, this, even though you're thinking about Vrindavan, still when you, if you arrive by airplane, you get to the Delhi airport if you've come to Delhi, and then you say if you get in a taxi or a train, and you're excited because you're getting closer to Vrindavan. But then when you hit Braja, past Koshi, then that sweetness of the land of Vrindavan, which is actually no different from Srimati Radharani, that touches one, and then one remembers, oh yes, this is Vrindavan. So Nanda Maharaj can't go outside to extinguish the burning fire of separation that comes from his missing Krishna, because everywhere he looks, he sees the footprints of Krishna. He sees Giriraj, he sees the Yamuna, he sees Krishna did this here, and Krishna did this there, and Choma, he did this, and this Sarpastali, and this and that, and this and that. So everything just reminds him of Krishna. And he's so absorbed in Krishna. The mind becomes so absorbed in Krishna. Mana yati taratmana. Total absorption in Krishna. And this is the perfection of Krishna consciousness. And this is what we are supposed to be doing. Somehow or another, our minds should gradually or quickly become absorbed in Krishna. Okay, it's easy to do while we're sitting in Vrindavan, or much easier to do, but I have the rest of my life, and I'm a dentist, or I'm a this or a that, or a this or a that. How do I become absorbed in Krishna? Well, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that we have to somehow connect everything we do to Krishna, somehow or another. Chaitasa sava kamani maya sanyasi matpara buddhi yoga pasita machita satatambhava. That somehow or another, Krishna has engaged me in the service. And therefore, if I can just think of this in that simple way, Krishna has engaged me in this way. And therefore I'm meant to use whatever situation I'm in Krishna's service. Somehow or another. Because if we live in a world of duality, well, here is the Krishna part of my life, and here is the part for me, that won't bring us to Braja, because as Srila Jiva Goswami explains in Bhakti Sandarbha, the Abhideya Tattva is not Misra Bhakti, or mixed devotional service. It is Anyabhilasita Sunyam. It is pure devotional service that will bring us to Prema. It is not mixed devotional service. Mixed devotional service, if we are fortunate, will bring us to pure devotional service. But the Abhideya Tattva is pure devotional service, Anyabhilasita Sunyam. So we come to Vrindavan, and we see this incredibly sweet hill and dust, and we hear Krishna Katha, and we have nothing, we have very little to distract us. And then we examine our own consciousness, and we see that it is empty. It is empty of attraction to Krishna. And it is like a desert, or just a pile of rocks, but not holy rocks, but just rocks and stones. And I like to use the phrase or term ashes, because it's the taste of ashes. If anyone's into tasting ashes, it is dry. There's nothing there, and whatever life you have in your mouth, it sucks out. So the heart becomes like that in the material world, just ashes, stones and rocks. So the awakening to that realization that I'm so far from Krishna, from being a real devotee, from pure devotional service. Practically speaking, this is the beginning of pure devotional service. Practically speaking, one is required to have that consciousness before one can sincerely pray. If I think I have everything, who wants to give to an arrogant beggar who's proud? Certainly not Krishna. But when the negative is increased sincerely in our consciousness, and from my experience, it's very easy to increase the negative in a healthy way, not in a low self-esteem neurotic way. But it's easy to increase the negative in a positive way, is just see how much attraction we have for Krishna and how much attraction we have for the land of Maya. And then in that consciousness, having the spark of the desire, somehow or another, by fortune, some little bit of desire, little bit of desire to actually become a devotee, to taste fully the sweetness of Vrindavan and the relationship with Krishna, to taste the holy names. Somehow or another, if we can get some of that taste, a little speck of Braj in our hearts, that is our wealth, that is our fortune, and that is our guarantee, in one sense, of going forward. Because that desire will eventually take over our consciousness, if that is what we want. And checking the condition of the heart, have so much things in there that shouldn't be there, that will disallow me for being in Braja. Oh, Giriraj, oh, Harinam, oh, Srila Prabhupada, oh, Radhakanayalal, oh, Nityananda Prabhu, you are the savior of the most fallen. And, well, here I am. But just simply and sincerely, then that is the engine that gives our prayers power. And that is the engine that gives our chanting power to attract Krishna's attention. So Nanda Maharaj was fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna. And the next verse, 23, he brings in another aspect of Krishna, which is very interesting. He brings in Krishna's power and the fact that he's an avatar. Of course, he's Bhagavan Swayam, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. But Nanda Maharaj is saying, in my opinion, seeing all that Krishna has done, because he's just said how he's saved us, he's lifted a hill. How is it possible that he's done this? How is it possible that he saved us from the serpents? How is it possible that he killed this huge Aristasura? How is it possible? So, in my opinion, Nanda Maharaj is just remembering Krishna's position as having so much power, which is quite different from him thinking of him as his own, his little boy, who the milk from his mother is barely dried up in his mouth, and there he is doing these things. But he brings out some of the Aishwarya of Krishna, saying that Krishna and Balaram, in my opinion, must be two exalted demigods who have come to this planet to fulfill the great mission of the demigods. Such was foretold by Gargarishi, because God, in the 8th chapter, the beginning of the 8th chapter of the 10th canto, when the Namakaran, the name-giving ceremony is done for Krishna and Balaram, Gargamuni predicts so many things about Krishna. Nena sarva dogani, And he also predicts that when the demonic forces overthrow the proper universal kings and harass people, that your boy, he comes, he comes again and again to protect the citizens, the people of this world from this, the horrendous and oppressing rulers of the world. So Gaugacharya has said this to Nanda Maharaj, and Nanda Maharaj is saying, yes, we have seen what Krishna has done. So he's introducing in his own consciousness some of Krishna's power and some of Krishna's extraordinariness to consciously to bring down the feeling of sweetness that he's always experiencing when he thinks about Krishna as his son. Because that sweetness keeps him thinking that where is that boy? We are the most unfortunate. How could we have let him go? Now only Vasudeva is fortunate. Now the people of Mathura are fortunate. But we are the most unfortunate because we had the greatest gem in our hand. Just imagine having the greatest gem in your hand and it's yours and then you let it go. A rickshawala says, can I just look at it for a second? And then, and you're gone. It's gone. And then you'll just be thinking, and Prabhupada actually gave that example. A poor man who gains $1 million and loses it thinks about nothing other than that. Day and night and day and night. Take whatever you miss the most when you're missing it. Whether it's friends or family or wife or children or husbands or money or whatever it is. And when you lose that, there is an emptiness in the heart that comes. And there are stories that when there was the great Wall Street collapse of stocks in 19, whatever it was, 20-something or 30-something, and then there were people jumping off of buildings to kill themselves because I have no reason to live anymore losing my wealth. So take that feeling of loss and multiply it by not 10, by not 20, not by 1,000. What can we say? By 1,000,000, by 100,000,000, 10 billion. How many zeros does it take to multiply zeros into a tangible number? How can we take material and gain an understanding of the spiritual? Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes the experience in his Madhurya Kadambini of seeing Krishna after wanting to see Krishna all the time, after longing for Krishna and longing for to see Krishna and nothing else, and longing to look at his beautiful form that's so effulgent and so sweet, and his consciousness is completely absorbed in this. This is a shakti. And then suddenly, by Krishna's own will and desire, Krishna appears before him. Sakshat darshan, he appears before him. And the great devotee just falls to the ground in a faint and praying, previously I have compared your complexion to that of a monsoon cloud, your dhoti to that of lightning. But now I see that those comparisons hold nothing. They are nothing. Because they are playing in my material mind based on my material experience. But you are composed of eternity and bliss and knowledge. And it is, that is reality. Krishna's reality. So, Nanda Maharaj, experiencing this inconceivable separation from Krishna, wants to bring down the heat, the fire of it. So, the suffering, which is ecstatic, doesn't afflict him so much. But of course, he cannot. He speaks more about Krishna in text 24. After all, he's so powerful. He's trying to bring his remembrances of Krishna out of Vrindavan into Mathura, and we described some of these pastimes yesterday. After all, Krishna and Balaram killed Kamsa, who was as strong as 10,000 elephants, as well as the restless Chanura, Mastika, and the elephant Kuvalayapita. They killed them all sportingly, as easily as a lion disposes of small animals. Some months ago, in preparation for these and other classes and descriptions of Krishna, because so many of the descriptions are like Krishna walks like a young elephant, and so slow and graceful, and he kills like a lion kills a small animal, disposes of a lion. But we don't have these experiences in our life. These are sometimes village experiences, like a bull and things like that. So I looked on YouTube and I saw the elephants walking. I saw a lion attacking an elephant. It brought shivers. Lions are just so powerful. Even if you go to a zoo and the lion's in the cage and he roars, you'll shiver. At least I shiver. Even in the cage, they have a shakti for power. And that shakti is given by Krishna. Like Krishna gave the weaver his shakti of beauty, it entered him. And I also saw some lions, and it's sad to see these things in one sense, but it's jiva, sajivanam. It's the law of the world. The lions just ripping apart some small animals and killing them. That's nothing for them. They're powerful. So Krishna has comparisons. He disposes of small animals. And not only did Gauga Muni say that Krishna is so wonderful, he's done it, and everyone is talking about it. With the ease of a royal elephant breaking a stick, a piece of sugarcane, a thin piece of sugarcane, with his left hand, Krishna broke that bow that was 270 feet long. He also held a mountain aloft with one hand, with a little finger in his one hand, for 7 days. And Nanda Maharaj has seen all this. And here, in Vrindavan, in text 26, Krishna and Balaram easily destroyed demons like Pralamba, Danuka, Arista. We spoke a little about Krishna, how Krishna dealt with Aristasura and putting his... Not only is Krishna powerful because there's gross ways to use power, but he does everything the power of a lion and a thunderbolt, but the grace of a delicate dancer. So he killed Trinavarta. He killed Baka. When Krishna was swallowed by Bakasura, Balaram, so absorbed in the mood of Krishna being his beloved brother, Balaram fainted. So Balaram also becomes absorbed in the sweetness of these pastimes. All the boys fainted. Balaram fainted. Balaram, who was all-knowing, became caught in the net of the sweet pastimes of Krishna based on loving relationship with Krishna. And we heard this in one of the Leela Kirtans of one Brahmana in Nabadweep. In one of the two Leela Kirtans I did, Maharaj did two others in the the Japa retreat. But there was one, Mahaprabhu was in the mood of a, he was in the mood of a scholar and lecturing to all his students on grammar, and he was proud, and he was saying, let anyone come and challenge my words, and he was just a boy, practically speaking. But then, Ratnagarbha Acharya, one Brahmana who was a devotee and a classmate of Nilambara Chakrabarti Thakur, came, and he was reciting the verse of that from the chapter that Madhavananda Prabhu is reading about have you gotten up to that one yet, where the wives come and they actually see Krishna? Yeah. So captivating, the form of Krishna twirling the lotus in his left, just twirling a lotus in his hand with his arm on the shoulder of his friend. So Ratnagarbhacharya recited that verse, and Mahaprabhu, his scholarship just vaporized, and he rolled on the ground, just think, Krishna, recite it again, I want to taste that. He's teaching us, Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, in the mood of a servant of the Lord, is teaching us how to love Krishna. We want that taste, and we want that taste to blaze in our consciousness. And this really was Prabhupada's secret. What Prabhupada did was impossible to do. If you don't believe me, just try it. Just try to convince, you know, to get some people to change their religion is one thing. To get people to all over the world to change their culture is another thing. And to get people all over the world to dedicate their lives and give up any thoughts of their future and anything like that. Of course, it was somewhat a romantic age, but still. But to just give up everything just to please him. Now, it was impossible. How did he do it? Okay, Krishna Shakti Nahivina Tarpravatana. And now our job is, we don't even have to really be, you know, really strong, like, you know, you're a rascal and you're a rascal, you're a rascal, you're a scientist, are rascals, this one's a rascal. We don't have to do that. We just have to hand them Prabhupada's books. He does all the hard work, and we just have to be nice to people and be happy and Krishna conscious and have the fire burning in us. But that fire of the relationship with Krishna was so burning in Prabhupada. Braj was so burning in Prabhupada, although he kept it, he was grave, very grave. It was kept deeply in the vault of his heart. But there is no other explanation how he could have attracted someone, all these people, to do what they did. And when people were with him, there was just something so sweet in his presence that you wanted to taste that sweetness. And he was a general. Yes, he was a general. But it was the sweetness that captured everyone. And many devotees talk about this. When you know, you'd go into Prabhupada's room, and you'd have, and your mind would be spinning, and you'd have so many problems, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. And you'd offer your obeisances, and he would say, so, everything is all right? Yes, Srila Prabhupada. Then you'd walk out. But it was that sweetness, that sweet taste that attracted, so attractive. Yeah, it was so attractive. It was Braja. It was Braja. It was Sri Vrindavan Dham. It was Radha and Krishna. Therefore, he could preach with such certainty, and not at all on the mental platform, that this is the purpose of life, and this is the jewel that you are looking for. And that if you gain everything else and you don't gain this, you have gained nothing? And he could say that the scientists were cheating. And he could say that the politicians were like this, and like that, and like that. He could say that the pious Hindu who was making glass out of sand and selling it, he could say that he was a thief. And then that person could reply, but I give in charity. And Prabhupada could say, oh, so you're an honest thief. And the person wouldn't be offended. Because it was the sweetness. Everyone was caught in that net. So anyway, Ratnagarbhacharya, he was reciting that verse and Mahaprabhu went into ecstasy and he said, recite it again. Give me that taste again. You are giving it to me. Give me that taste of seeing Krishna in Vrindavan and describing his beautiful form. And then Mahaprabhu fell to the ground and the Ratnagarbhacharya, he touched Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu embraced him. And then he began to cry and shiver. The explosion of prema was taking place in his heart by touching Mahaprabhu. And then Sri Vrindavan Das Thakur says, now this Ratnagarbhacharya was also caught in the web of Mahaprabhu's love, distribution of love. So we want to be caught in that web and reeled in and taken and taken to Vrindavan fully. So here in Vrindavan, this is text 26, Krishna and Balaram easily destroyed demons like Pralamba, Danuka, Arista, Trinavarta, and Baka. Balaram got caught in the web, who had themselves defeated both demigods and other demons. They were powerful. Nanda Maharaj, there was the word Mukunda used by Nanda Maharaj, remembering Krishna and his pastimes. And Mukunda means the primary meaning, of course it means his, the one whose face blossoms like a lotus flower, like a kunda flower. But also it means, the most common meaning is he who gives liberation. So when Nanda Maharaj thought of this, our acharyas say that, called Krishna Mukunda, that he was thinking of the two times that Nanda Maharaj saved him personally. That Krishna saved him. One time was from the serpent Vidyadhara, when the serpent was swallowing Nanda Maharaj. And the other time was when Nanda Maharaj, on the Dwadasi, after the Ekadasi, on the Ekadasi after Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill, then Sarabi and Indra came and apologized. Then on the Dwadasi, Nanda Maharaj went to bathe, and the place where he bathed, called Nandagat, is on the western side of the Yamuna. It's still there, although the Yamuna has moved from where it was. And Nanda Maharaj, with some of his friends, dressed in sacrificial, ending the ceremonial clothes, went into the Yamuna. And the Varuna Dutas decided that he had bathed at an inappropriate time. And so when he entered the water and went down in the water, they took him deep down a cavern in the Yamuna through a hole into a place where Varuna, they took him to the presence of Varunadev. So in the Bhagavatam, we see one by one the demigods, Indra, Brahma, Varuna, and even later on in the 89th chapter of the 10th canto, even Mahavishnu is just so happy to have Krishna's darshan and surrenders to Krishna. Lord Shiva, two times with Banasura and also with Vrikasura, that pastime. So Krishna is being acknowledged everywhere as the Supreme Lord. So in this particular, at this particular time, Nanda Maharaj enters the water, and from the viewpoint of the his friends on the shore, he's actually being taken to the abode of Varuna. But what does it look like? He goes into the water, and then he's gone. So what does it look like? He looked like he drowned. And everyone in Vrindavan loves Nanda Maharaj. He has all good qualities. Upananda was his elder brother or younger brother? Elder brother, but who was the king? Nanda Maharaj, because Upananda saw the qualities of Nanda Maharaj and he said, you become the king. And he is Upananda. He is near Nanda at all times as his advisor. But he's the elder brother. So the residents of Vrindavan, the elderly gopas, they Nanda, our beloved Nanda, has drowned, and they began calling out to Krishna. Because, again, this is the characteristic of a devotee, what to speak of. The residents of Vrindavan, whenever there is any difficulty, they take shelter of Krishna, and Krishna is achyuta, he is infallible. This is what it means to be a devotee, gotripte varanam tata, and to take full shelter of Krishna allows one the experience, not the theoretical philosophical understanding, but it allows one the experience of like being in Krishna's group and under his protection. You've given yourself to Krishna and gotripte varanam tata, and he protects you like the farmer protects the cow under his care. So this is what it means to be a devotee. When there's any difficulty, Krishna, 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 or in Vrindavan, Radhe, Radhe, or the Vaishnavas, Raghunath Das Goswami says, call out to Bhakavid, call out to Krishna, call out to the great Vaishnavas. But don't go on your own power or on your own strength or your own knowledge or your beauty or your influence. Being a devotee means taking shelter of Krishna. So the residents of Vrindavan, devotees par excellence, they just called out to Krishna. And all the residents of Vrindavan, from Mother Yasoda, everyone came from the village to the Yamuna to help. And Krishna came. And Balaram came. And Krishna was going to rescue Nanda Maharaj himself. And he was going to jump into the water. Of course, he knows everything and he's all powerful. But he was going to jump into the water to rescue Nanda Maharaj. And if Mother Yashoda was there and heard that Nanda Maharaj jumped into the water and didn't resurface, and now Krishna jumped into the water and didn't resurface, what would happen to Mother Yashoda? So Krishna told Balaram, I'm going to go into the water. And before I get out of the water, Yashoda is going to come. You have to satisfy her heart that everything's going to be all right. You have to do that, otherwise she will die on the spot. So Krishna then, Balaram agreed, and then Krishna jumped into the water and disappeared. And because this happens in the 28th chapter, and in the previous chapter, in a prior chapter, in chapter 16, when everyone was so worried when Krishna was caught in the coils of Kaliya, Balaram although experiencing the pain of the Brijbasis and in deep misery from that, their pain, he put on a very smiling, confident face, and he said, "Don't worry. This is a snake of this world. Do you think the snake of this world can hurt Krishna? Remember Trinavata. Remember Putana. Remember Sakatasura. Remember the twin Arjun trees. Don't worry." And Balaram actually manifested forearms then to keep everyone, and he was smiling and pushing everyone back from the Yamuna. So Balaram's credibility was very high. And if Balaram smiling told Mother Yashoda that there's nothing to worry about, they would trust that. She would trust that. So when Krishna was under the water and Mother Yashoda came, Balaram told her that. But all, and she therefore remained alive. But I would like to read to you some of the words of Kavi Kanapur that describe the reaction of Srimati Radharani when she learned that Krishna had jumped into the Yamuna and hadn't surfaced again. He first says, "For some reason, Krishna felt attracted to Varuna, even though he had improperly treated his father Nanda Maharaj." In other words, that Krishna was going to give him his darshan. That was Varunadev's great fortune. "The young gopis of Gokul and everyone else on the bank of the river fell into depression when Krishna left for Varuna's abode." Please see this in your mind. Though the gorgeous Braja gopis did not always see Krishna, because of their intense attachment to him, and because they stayed in his village, they felt that they lived in the same house as Krishna. Their experience of Krishna was mamata again. He is ours. We are from the same village. They see him every day. We are from the same family. And fearing that he had departed for the other world, the gopis, losing their strength, simply collapsed on the ground. Their prana left their bodies and they collapsed like a tree that had been cut at the root. They just fell to the ground. And in this state, the gopis could not hear anything. They could not see anything. They could not say anything. Their minds went with Krishna. And their bodies began to tremble uncontrollably. Why? Because they felt separation from Krishna. Radhika managed to sustain her life by the power of her Krishna prema. And even though the other gopis fanned Radha with a lotus and tal leaves, and they sprinkled her with sandal water, the Priya Sakis could not reduce Srimati Radharani's high fever of separation. And luckily, what saved her life was her friend called Murcha, or unconsciousness. She went completely unconscious. Then the gopis took some cotton and placed it under her nostrils to see if she was alive, and they saw it was moving slightly. They understood she still lived. And then one very intelligent friend of Srimati said, "Krishna's coming! He's coming now! Here he is!" And Radha opened her eyes. She returned to external consciousness with great difficulty. But then she didn't see Krishna. And she just stared blankly into space. Her eyes looked like a pair of blue lotuses painted on a canvas. They didn't move at all. Even though Radha heard her friend saying, "Krishna will be coming in a moment. He'll be safe," she thought, "One moment is like a yuga, thousands of years, Am I to blame for suffering such pain of separation? And not seeing Krishna before her, Radha felt even more anguish. The hot sparks of fire from her heart shot out of her eyes like tears. They mixed with kajal, and they dripped in black streams down her golden lotus face. That's what was going on the bank of the Jamuna. Krishna went down, and when Varuna had seen Nandamaraj just looking at him, using the science known as phrenology, and seeing how he was dressed, Varuna understood, this is Krishna's father. Phrenology. You don't know phrenology? Phrenology, bumps on the head. Yes. And he became terrified that he had done the greatest offense and that Krishna would be angry at him. So immediately he took Nandamaraj and placed him on a throne in his palace, and then took cloth, very, very fine cloth, and placed it to the entrance into his city, all the way to where Nandamaraj was. And he himself tied a cloth around his neck as a gesture of humility. And he waited outside his place, just waiting for Krishna to come, in great fear, in great anxiety. So we've heard up till this point what this experience was like for Nandamaraj, for Srimati Radharani. We've heard what it was like for the residents of Vrindavan, for Yashoda, for the cowherd men, and we've heard what it was like for Varuna, and we haven't heard what it was like for Krishna and Nandamaraj yet. From the point of view of Nandamaraj, because reality is, of course, Krishna has all of reality in his hand, but there's so many different points of view in reality, and you have to know all the different points of view. In quantum physics, this is called complementarity. But you have to take into consideration all the points of view if you want to understand things fully. So Nandamaraj, during this whole time, from the moment he got into the Yamuna, really, every moment of his existence, he was simply thinking of Krishna, thinking of his worshipable deity, Narayan, but in relationship to Krishna. Lord Narayan is so wonderful. He's given me the most wonderful son, and Krishna is so wonderful in so many ways. He rescued me here. He lifted the hill. We just stood at him. We stared at him. We did not feel any pain, any hunger, any thirst. The thunderbolts were coming. We were in no anxiety. He did this, he did that. He smiles in this way. He's captured my heart in this way. And even when he was a young boy, he is the tilak marking on all the cowherd men in Braja. Even when he was a young boy, he was herding the cows. And he was focused only in samadhi on Krishna. He did not even know that the Varuna Dutas had taken him. He was just, his eyes were closed and thinking, Krishna, Krishna this and Krishna that. Lord Narayan, Krishna gave me Krishna. Krishna, so beautiful, his eyes. And everyone loves Krishna. Everyone loves Krishna. But from Krishna's point of view, so Nandamaraj was placed on one of Varuna's thrones. Varuna was waiting outside in fear, and Krishna was very angry because his father had been taken. Krishna was so angry. Even though his complexion is blackish, he assumed a reddish form with reddish eyes in anger. Where is that? Because Varuna was living in a hole. So he said, where is that jackal Varuna? Where is he? And he was so fierce that no one could look at him. So he immediately jumped in the and he went down into the hole, and he was coming towards Varuna, and Varuna saw him, and he was just bowing down and offering him prayers and apologizing. And Krishna said, "Where is my father?" Krishna is thinking, "My father." He's thinking, he is the Supreme Lord, the Father of everyone. Aham Bijapita Maha. I am the seed-giving Father of everyone. But he's thinking of Nanda Maharaj as my father. And he's loving Nanda Maharaj as his father. And Nanda Maharaj is receiving all this love from Krishna as the most wonderful, wonderful son. "Where is my father?" And Varuna points. Look, he's sitting on the throne with his eyes closed. We have not treated him improperly in any way. And he begins to glorify Krishna. And there's a cloth road of fine, soft cloth to where Nanda Maharaj is. "Please, let me take you there, O Lord." He takes Krishna in front of Nanda Maharaj, whose eyes are closed, thinking about Krishna, deep in meditation, thinking about Krishna's lila, Krishna's form, Krishna's name. And suddenly, the wonderful fragrance of Krishna enters his nostrils. And Nanda Maharaj opens his eyes and he sees Krishna standing in front of him. He has no idea where he is, what has happened. And then Krishna bows down and Nanda Maharaj embraces him, and Krishna embraces Nanda Maharaj, and tears are pouring from their eyes. This is the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's a little boy in the presence of the blazing prema of Nanda Maharaj. But the best of all little boys, the perfection of all little boys, the sweetness. And both of them are tasting rasa in this way, Shuddha Vatsalya Prem. And the tears are flowing, and Varuna Dev and all the attendants. So they both become very shy and they withdraw that. And Krishna just says, "Father, I am here. Please place the lotuses that are your feet, one after another, on the path, and let us go home to Vrindavan." And Varuna, in somewhat of a different mood, he's coming out and praising Nanda, praising Krishna, and, "You are the Supreme Lord, and please forgive me. Please punish me for my offense, or please be compassionate and forgive me, but don't ignore me." And he brings beautiful cloth. He brings jewels. "Take whatever you want. This kingdom is yours. Everything is yours. And here I'm sending some of my messengers to bring you back." And Krishna is pleased with him. And they go back. They enter. They go back into the cave. They go back up through the Yamuna. And all the residents of Vrindavan are on the bank of the Yamuna. And just imagine, of course we can't imagine, but just imagine the bliss that enters everyone's heart when Nanda Maharaj and Krishna come to the surface. They have died, and now their life has returned. And they're again alive. Krishna, Balaram embraces Krishna, but Krishna, so no one, so fast that no one could see him practically speaking, he goes to Mother Yashoda, brings her back to life. by his presence. That's the same thing happened when Putana took Krishna. And Mother Yasoda, she was dead. Rohini Devi was dead on the ground. And then when they found Krishna again, they just brought baby Krishna. And Mother Yasoda was out. And they just put Krishna on her lap. And the touch of Krishna, just she woke up. And then seeing Krishna, she was so ecstatic, she went unconscious again. Quite inconceivable. But Krishna's everything to the residents of Vrindavan. Would you like to make him everything for you? Yes, yes. Well, there was a lot of people who are not at all on the mental platform. How wonderful. Well, Giriraj is here. This is a good time to just face Giriraj and just make an honest, sincere prayer to Giriraj. And if you can't, if you have sort of different parts in you that want different things, well, pray to Giriraj that that part really grows, that wants to Krishna to be everything. Because even, yeah, and become a servant. Just make us find the most sincerest part and the humblest part of who you are. And let Giriraj fulfill your desires. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. And look at the nice Giriraj right on our little hill over here. Look how he's smiling. Oh, what do you want? Do you want to serve Krishna? Okay, what else do you want? Do you want to serve Krishna in this way? Okay, okay, okay. Whose Giriraj is that? Who worships that Giriraj? Yeah. He will go home, back to his place. Let us continue a little more. So seeing this ecstasy of Nanda Maharaj, and then seeing, notice again that we've not heard one word from Mother Yashoda. Sukadev Goswami said, he's narrating the scene with Uddhava there, Nanda Maharaj talking to him. Thus intensely remembering Krishna again and again, Sri Shuka Uvacha, iti samsmritya samsmritya, again and again remembering Krishna. Nanda Krishna anuraktadi. Nanda Maharaj was completely, his mind was completely attracted and infused with Krishna, focusing on Krishna, meditating on Krishna, with anurakta, with great, complete attraction, how it's translated here. Complete. Then, ati utkanto abhavatushnam, that he became, in his eagerness, utkanta. That one, you, I've learned that one from you, the meaning of utkanta means the the upward movement of the neck. That means eagerness. When a beloved is coming, your neck stretches out and you're waiting to see any sign of the beloved. So Nanda, ati means very, very intensely eager and anxious. Abhavatushnam, he became silent. Prema prasada vivala, overcome by the force of his prema. And Mother Yasoda at that time, because we haven't heard anything about Mother Yasoda. So Yasoda varnyamanani, hearing putrasya charitani cha, hearing the charita, the activities of her putra, of her son, running out the meaning, hearing them being described, because Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda had completely different reactions here to Uddhava. Nanda Maharaj was just talking and talking, talking about Krishna until he became silent, absorbed in his thought. And Mother Yashoda was just silent in the depths of her remembering Krishna. Just silent, remembering Putrasya, just remembering Krishna's activities, just simply absorbed internally, remember Krishna's activities. And while she was doing this, Srinvanti, by hearing all of Nanda Maharaj's words, her tears poured out and milk flowed from her breasts out of love. Payodara. There was a rain of both milk and tears. And Uddhava, thinking, having seen the intense prema of the Vrishnis in Dwarka, and now seeing this, he was amazed. He has taken the first step in witnessing in the lessons that Krishna had sent him to learn, because he has not yet seen even the Braja Gopis. But seeing Nanda and Yashoda, he's staggered, he's shocked, he has never seen anything like this before. Now, on one level, it looks like everyone is just experiencing misery. But Uddhava's words, it says, Nandam aho devo muda. Muda means in great joy he's going to speak. So if it was just misery, he certainly wouldn't be experiencing joy. But what he's experiencing and what he's noting, which is the key for what brings us advancement in Krishna consciousness, or defines what one's advance in Krishna consciousness, is one's absorption favorably, anukulena Krishna, but it's one's thinking about Krishna. No desires for me, what I'm going to get out of it, no percentages at all, no jnana, no karma, but just Krishna, just Krishna. Full absorption, complete absorption in thoughts of Krishna. Seeing this, Uddhava is shocked. Nanda Maharaj, Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur, explains, he began speaking without stopping. Yashoda, discharged, tears only. She could not speak. She could not ask any questions. She could not do anything. So Uddhava then, witnessing the ecstatic separation of Nanda and Yashoda, he joyfully, this is text 29, joyfully addresses Nanda Maharaj. Having clearly seen the supreme loving attraction that Nanda and Yashoda felt for Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead. So he is amazed. And he begins to speak. Sri Uddhava Uvacha. All respectful Nanda. He was worthy of all respect. Certainly you and Mother Yashoda are the most praiseworthy persons in the entire world. You are the most glorious. You have achieved the highest state of prema in the entire world, since you have developed such a loving attitude towards Lord Narayan, because his relationship with the Supreme Lord was not as intimate as the residents of Vrindavan. You have such an absorption, such an intimacy of relationship, such love for Lord Narayan, the supreme master of all living beings. And why is he saying you're so fortunate? Because these two lords, Mukunda and Balaram are each the seed and womb of the entire universe. Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda really don't care about this particular point. But this is very important for us to understand. And Uddhava has a particular mentality, and it's going to be service. He's going to use it in service, but he has a particular mentality of seeing the power and opulence of Krishna, the unlimited power of Krishna. And that is dominant in his mentality. So he says, these two lords, Mukunda and Balaram, are each the seed and womb of the universe, the creator and his creative potency. They enter the hearts of living beings and they control their conditioned awareness. They are the original, primeval, supreme. And you have attraction from, you are absorbed in thoughts of the Supreme Lord. You are so fortunate. Your absorption and love for him is unequaled anywhere. You are the most fortunate. Srila Jiva Goswami says, you are both most praiseworthy because that one person who is the shelter of Mahavishnu, who is greater than the Lord of Vaikuntha, Lord Narayan, by your Shuddha Vatsalya Prema, by your love, purity of your parental affection for him, you have this unlimitedly powerful Lord completely under control. And he cries, Mother Yashoda, he cries when you raise your finger to him, say you're going to tie him up and you're threatening him. And this all-powerful Lord becomes fearful. So you are unlimitedly powerful by the power of your absorption in him and your love for him. So you are the most fortunate of anyone. You are thinking you're the most unfortunate because Krishna is not with you, but I've seen everyone in Mathura. Later on, I will see everyone in Dwarka. I've seen Vasudeva, I've seen Devaki, and the unlimited prema they have, but your prema is still far greater. Now, Uddhava speaks two verses about the importance of absorption. And again, this is why Satchinanda Maharaj makes the point many, many, many times about relationship, sambandha, that when we chant and when we do our service and whatever we're doing, it should have a relationship to Krishna. It must, otherwise the result won't be there. Because if it becomes just mere religiosity, religious formulas, without the sense of relationship, without the humility, feeling I have no love for Krishna, or without the love for whatever love for Krishna or attraction or affection or whatever we have, without that being part of our consciousness, then there won't be a proper result. And then we'll become frustrated, and then we'll do whatever frustrated people do. They'll take some other path, or they'll take a diversion and try to get something material from a path that has the ability to award Krishna prema. So listen to what Uddhava says about the power of absorption. Anyone, even a person in an impure state, Om Apavitra Pavitrava Savavastam Gatopisa, anyone, even if they are in an impure state, who absorbs his mind in him for just a moment at the time of death, burns up all traces of sinful reactions. Burns up all traces of sinful reactions, and immediately attains the supreme transcendental destination in a pure spiritual form, as effulgent as the sun, the power of remembering Krishna, becoming absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, is spiritual. And like the sun removes darkness, it removes material contamination effortlessly. Just as I was saying. You too, now he speaks directly of them, you too have rendered exceptional loving service to him. Lord Narayan, the super soul. So he's in that vision. But still, he's recognizing the unparalleled position of the residents of Vrindavan. He's never seen anything like it before. He is the super soul of all, and he is the cause of existence. And we need to remember this because Krishna is performing his Naralila that seem to be like the activities of a human being, but actually he's the Supreme Lord. He's the cause of all existence, and universes come from the pores of his body. Universes, unlimitedly big universes, are nothing coming from Mama Angso Tejasambhava. There's nothing coming. He's controlling everything. Everything is rest, and that's nothing. Just Angsa, just part. And yet, and he is the only one who is swatantra, means what? Independent. He can do what he wants. And what does he want to do? He wants to wander around Vrindavan with his friends after that forest fire where Krishna, after the Kaliya serpent, there was a forest fire. They were going back to Nandagaon, and Krishna and Balaram and the cowherd boys and all the cows were walking. And if you wander at all in Vrindavan, sometimes you see the boys with their cows walking by the Yamuna, and they just go into the Yamuna. They take off their clothes, they just jump into the Yamuna, and then the cows went in. So Krishna and Balaram did this. And they were just playing and laughing and bringing the cows in and petting the cows and washing them for some time and laughing and playing. And then they came out of the Yamuna, put on their clothes again, and laughing and playing their flutes and dressed in this way. And, oh, Krishna, you did this, so wonderful. Yes, this is what Krishna wants to do. This is the mind and heart of the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. People who love him, not wanting anything from him, but just love him because he's wonderful. It's natural. It's natural for us too. Because it's natural for him. Just imagine. Just so many different religions and everyone's like praying to God all, you know, when they go to the church, please give me this and please a new bicycle and or whatever. And, you know, make my stocks go up and make my enemy's stocks go down and you know, cure my bad ankle and let my son pass his exams and get... And on and on and on and on and on and on. And if someone walks in and says, Krishna, how could I please you? And says that with full heart and full love, Krishna becomes captured by that person. So Uddhava's saying he's the original cause of anything, although he has a human form. So it's important for us to keep in mind that this, and the Bhagavatam 10th canto is organized like that. He shows his power, he shows then his sweetness, then his power, then his sweetness, then there's some prayers. And, because we need to remember that he's all powerful and this is how he chooses to act. So he has what pious deeds, what more can you do? What wonderful thing could you do that will get you something more than you have? That's how Uddhava ends these words. And then he says, the next verse he says, we'll leave it for
tomorrow, and we'll end now. But he is amazed. He is amazed at the love, Braja Prem. And his amazement will still increase when he later meets the Braja Gopikas. Sri Uddhava ki jai, Sri Krishna ki jai, Sri Nanda Yashoda Maya ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. I can't do it. I lost my voice on yesterday's one. I'll do it softly, but if you would just take your prayer, and I'll say it softly, but please don't you say it softly. And but please be in relationship when you pray to Giriraj here. Face Giriraj, please. I'll say it softly, but please say it loudly. And with your hands in the air and your hearts full. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki. Bolo Giriraj Maharaj ki. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. Jai Jai Sri Radhe. His Holiness Sachinanda Maharaj is right. He said, this group has melted already. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.